We're in a series called Win the Day, and sometimes we get so caught up in our day that we even forget the first step of the day. And today, I want to kind of bring back a childhood game, and it starts with a domino. A lot of times, we have games that we pull out the dominoes, and we play these games, but one of the main games that we, as a kid, would love to do is what? Line them up, knock them down, right? There's a gentleman, Bob Speca, when he was a sophomore in high school, he heard his math teacher talk about the math induction theory. His teacher likened the theory to the domino effect, which was to line up the dominoes, you knock one down, they topple each other over. It's the domino effect. After graduating high school, Bob Speca appeared on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson to show off his domino toppling skills. Can you imagine? How do you get to the place of going, okay, here's two or three dominoes, but now I'm on Johnny Carson? For those who don't know who Johnny Carson, I don't even know who's out there anymore. All right, they rotate so fast nowadays. Johnny Carson is a staple of nighttime television. But in 1976, Bob Speca, because of a math theory that his math teacher taught him in high school as a sophomore, ended up on the Johnny Carson show and set a world record. In fact, the Guinness Book of World Records showed up that night just to create a world record just for that night. That night, Bob Speca toppled 11,111 dominoes. Over the next decade, he would break his own record five different times, topping out at 97,500 dominoes. You can't hurry that process. There is no, can you imagine if you got to even 10,000 dominoes and you accidentally knocked one down? That's a bad day. Around the same time Bob Speca was setting world records, a physicist named Lorne Whitehead was doing experiments with domino chain reaction. Now get this, Whitehead discovered that a domino is capable of knocking over another domino that is 1.5 times its size. My wife knocking me over. A 2-inch domino can topple a 3-inch domino. A 3-inch domino can topple a 4.5-inch domino, and so on. By the time you get to the 18th domino, you could topple the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Of course, it's leaning, so that's kind of cheating, right? The 21st domino could take down the Washington Monument. The 23rd domino can knock over the Eiffel Tower. And the 27th domino could cartwheel the 160-story Burj Khalifa, the tallest building in the world. Can you imagine? It all starts with a 2-inch domino. So let me double all the way back to the math induction theory. Instead of a fancy formula, let me give you a real-world example. According to this theory, you could climb as high as you like on a ladder by starting with the bottom rung. It starts with one step at a time. It's having to just slow down just a moment to win the day. In fact, there is a biblical theory in this, and it goes all the way back to Genesis 11:6. It's the story of the Tower of Babel. What's interesting, and this is the one verse that really stands out to me, and it's this: it's Genesis 11:6. Nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Because they all spoke the same language. They all worked together. It was one step at a time. Let me say it another way, and you can put this in your notes. Almost anyone can accomplish almost anything if they work at it long enough, hard enough, and smart enough. Almost anyone can accomplish almost anything if they work at it long enough, hard enough, and smart enough. The key is what I would call domino habits. Little habits that are high leverage habits. Here's what I know for sure. If you do little things like they're big things, God will do big things like they're little things. If you do little things like they're big things, God will do big things like they're little things. I think sometimes we just jump to the big things and want to tackle the big things, but God is wanting us just to be focused on the little things. Because God will do big things like they're little things. And you might be wondering, why is this title, Eat the Frog? It's because there is a quote by Mark Twain. It says, if you ever have to eat a live frog, it's best done first thing in the morning. If you ever have to eat a live frog, it's best done first thing in the morning. In fact, he goes on to say, if you have to eat two frogs, eat the bigger one first. Because then the second one's a lot easier. Because if you have to go through the rest of the day knowing that the hardest task is behind you, that's why you eat the frog. According to Duke University study, 45% of daily behavior is automatic. 45% of your day is just automatic. You just go through it. You're not even thinking. But how do we even get to that? Because you weren't born that way, right? You weren't created from day one going, oh, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to do my devotions. I'm going to drink my coffee. I'm going to get ready. You weren't born that way. We gained habits throughout our lifetime, whether good or bad, but it has created a domino effect in our life. In fact, I would even go beyond. It's not just a domino effect, but every time a domino falls and it carries and carries, there's a ripple effect that affects those that are around us. For example, if somebody tends to stop coming to church, there's a ripple effect of us missing them. If I'm in a bad mood and I wake up in a bad mood, the ripple effect, the domino effect, is that it carries over onto my wife and it ruins her day. It's not a true story. There's a ripple effect. We're family, right? Yeah. So it's not bad that we have automatic behavior unless, of course, they're bad habits. Habits are the way we put things on repeat. Without the ability to automate, we have to relearn everything we do every single day. Let me teach you in your notes the SWOT analyst. This is something that we need to look at our lives, and we'll get into the word here in just a moment. But we need to kind of set up where we're going this morning. You've got to identify your strengths, your weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Let me say that again. You have to identify your strengths, your weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. Here's what I believe. You can reinvent yourself. You can reprogram your mind. You can repurpose your heart. You can reinvent your body. You can do all of that. I read a story one time of a high school principal that weighed, topping out, close to 400 pounds. He was 397 pounds, and he had a desire to run a marathon. Now, you know, at 397 pounds to run a marathon, you go, oh, that is a big task. But he had to start with one simple domino. So he realized that he had to lose over 60 pounds before he started running. So he set out on that task, one domino at a time, one step at a time. Then he decided, how am I going to repurpose and get motivated to run? Out of the 82 schools in his school district, he started to run around the schools and use that as a prayer circle. So as he was running around the schools, he was now turning those schools into a prayer circle and praying for their schools. He put purpose to a new habit. He not only ran a marathon, but he also lost half his body weight in the process. But it started with one domino. Now, let me say this. I recognize nature as well as nurture, like height, weight, and heritability factor. My family, the Sheely men, are not skinny guys. They are a lot like this principle that I just told you about. So hereditary, within my genes and my DNA, I have to stay focused in my health and make sure that I stay healthy. But that doesn't change this thesis, which is almost anyone can accomplish almost anything if they work at it long enough, hard enough, and smart enough. All right, I know that some of you are probably thinking right now, this is a self-help. What have you gotten yourself into, right? Once again, this is more than just a self-help. It's more than just habit forming, but there is a biblical principle behind this. And if we were to narrow this down in point number one, how do you eat a frog? Point number one, you have to make it measurable. You have to make it measurable. Everybody say measurable. In other words, you have to set a timeline and deadline. One way to do this is by adding timelines and deadlines. If you don't put something on the calendar, guess what? You'll probably never accomplish it. If you don't set your clock in the morning to wake you up, you probably won't wake up on time. Unless you've done it so long that you just automatically wake up, which that happens. When it comes to goal setting and habit building, deadlines are lifelines. In other words, if we don't have purpose in this life and we don't keep that in focus and we don't set the timelines and deadlines, then we're losing our lifeline. We're losing what our purpose is for the day. For example, this church, Bethel Church, we have set right in front of you so that when you walk into the place of worship, why do we exist? To experience God. Why do we exist? Experience God. We want to experience God because nothing else matters on this planet if we are not experiencing God first. We could set up all the programs. We could do all the ministries. We could put money into Medford and the Rogue Valley. We could send missionaries all over the world. But if we are not experiencing God, if you, everybody point at yourself, if I do not experience God first, the first domino, the first habit, then we walk with others. We become a family. No matter what you're going through in life, when a graduate graduates, we celebrate. That's an accomplishment. Because we've been there. We've either had family or ourselves, we've graduated, or we have reached an accomplishment. We walk with others. No matter what they're going through, we walk with them. And then we serve the world. How do we do that? By sending out missionaries, by monthly support, by missions projects, by going on the mission field, Royal Family Kids Camp coming up. We volunteer to get involved. We send kids to camps through scholarships, or we serve within our church in different ministries. That's how we do it. We make it measurable. Two, make it meaningful. How do you make it meaningful? Lots of ways to do this. One, You could do it by, you could do it for someone else. Listen, I don't like running on treadmills. I do not like exercising. I would rather sit on the couch with my ice cream and watch the ball game. I did that last night. Not on the couch. Can I confess something to you? I did exercise yesterday, so I treated myself last night. I had on one TV, I had the UFC fights. On my iPad, I had the Ducks baseball game. And then on my phone, I was watching the 4A state baseball championship. I was a mess last night, and I had a bowl of ice cream. So they're all playing at the same time. What do you do? But as I'm running on the treadmill, when I focus on when I want a good, fat, juicy hamburger, or do I want a Caesar side salad, I have to go, why am I eating healthy? Why do I have to stay healthy? Why? Because I have a family. Why? Because God needs me on this earth. Why? Because when I run on the treadmill, sometimes when I want to stop, I go, I got to do another mile. Why? Because I have a church that I got to shepherd. I need to stay healthy. I have to put purpose by, why am I giving 10% of my income? Why am I doing it? Make it meaningful, because there is somebody who needs to know what hope is. Why am I giving to missions? Because I've had 3 missionaries this week reach out to me. That's why we give. That's why we go. That's why we put it in front of everyone. I haven't even gotten into the word yet. All right, here we go. 3, and this is where we're going, because this is the most important. Number 3, make it maintainable. We could do the first 2. In fact, the world does the first 2. Make it measurable, make it meaningful. So under meaningful, there is one part in your notes. Find your why. Find your why and look at it every day. And number 3, make it maintainable. If you turn to Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. See, the gospel, Jesus says something I find fascinating as it relates to habit formation. And it's this. When an impure spirit comes out of a person, if it goes through arid places, in other words, dry places, seeking rest and does not find it, then it says, I will return to the house I left. And when it arrives, when the spirit arrives, it finds the house unoccupied, swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes with it 7 other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that person is worse than the first. That is how it will be with this wicked generation. This is a complicated passage to dissect. It's a complicated, in fact, there's probably, just like when I sat down and I dove into this, I was like, okay, God, what does this really mean? What are you trying to say here? What is Jesus speaking of? Why is the person worse off? Because he got rid of the spirit. The spirit left. Then he cleaned the house. In other words, his life. He made things in order, but yet it was empty because they didn't cultivate daily habits, daily disciplines necessary to back up the divine deliverance. In other words, we could come to the altar. We could say, Jesus, come into my life. You are Lord. You are my Savior. Forgive me of the sins that I've done. And God forgives those sins. But if we go back to our daily habits and we don't dive into, God, what are the boundaries you want me to live by? Then we make things clean. We make things right. But yet we've opened ourselves up because we haven't packed things within us that is pure, that is holy. that is righteous, that sets us apart. God can deliver you in a day, no doubt. Habits to back up this miracle. The domino effect. It's the domino effect. Again, if you want God to do the super, you have to do the natural. If you want God to do the super, you have to do the natural. You don't break a bad habit by not doing it. Sure, this might work for a week or two or four, but it's not a long-term solution. Spiritually speaking, you don't stop sinning by not sinning. In other words, if I told you, now don't think about the Jolly Green Giant. Guess what you're thinking about? Some of you are like, oh. I'm thinking about the Jolly Green Giant right now. In psychology, there is something called a double bind. Everybody say double bind. If I say to you to be spontaneous, you can't. I just took that away from you from being spontaneous because now you're thinking, how can I be spontaneous? It's not spontaneous because now you're thinking about and planning how to be spontaneous. It creates a no-win situation, and the same goes for every temptation we face. I wish eating the frog was as easy as just say no. But it's not. The solution, you need a vision bigger and better than the temptation. Anybody that has ever faced a habit in their life, in order to break that habit, you had to put something bigger in front of you, a bigger goal, a bigger vision, a bigger purpose than that habit that you're trying to break. You need a vision. If we as a church want to continue to make an impact in Medford, in Oregon, in the United States, and in this world, we need a vision that's bigger than Bethel Church. We need to have a purpose and a plan to say, what we're doing right now is great, but it's not good enough. God wants to use us in a bigger and more powerful way, but God, give us what that looks like. Oh, let us hold that out there. Let us keep that as our focus. And whatever changes we have to do, whatever new habits and new formations that we have to do, then that is our goal. That is why. For example, yesterday I went to Walmart. I don't like going to Walmart. I don't. You spend money at Walmart. I don't like going. And we're trying to find things to help us get organized in our house. And we're going through one of the aisles and we're looking at trash cans because we want a garbage can for our cans recycling. And so we were looking at one, and this lady with this dog was in the aisle, and she was looking at another one, and she was looking at a cheaper one, and she goes, oh, I am so excited. I'm just now moving into my first apartment. I've been homeless for 5 years. And she was just looking for a cheap garbage can for her brand new apartment. I was like, that's amazing. And she goes, yeah. She goes, I'm just trying to change things in my life, and just trying to new habits, and she just starts sharing her story. Now, you can't tell me that that's not a God encounter. And I'm just listening to her story, and she's telling me about her dog that's a service dog that could sense like epileptic seizures and blood pressures, and I was terrified. I was like, Lord, don't let that dog sit at my feet. or I'm going to have new habits that I'm going to have to. But she's like, she's talking about all these different things. And she's like, but I'm just so excited. I said, now, is there anything? And I haven't introduced myself yet to her. I said, is there anything else that you need for your apartment? She goes, you know, I'm just thinking like a dresser, and I have a bed and a bed frame, and I have these just utensils and stuff like that, but I don't have a dresser. I said, can I get your information? I said, hold on. I'm the new pastor at Bethel Church. let me introduce myself. I said, but I personally, I would like to buy you your dresser. Can I get your information and I'll contact you this week? It's just small habits. It's one domino at a time. It's one action at a time. Things that I don't enjoy going to Walmart, but maybe there's a greater purpose for me to go. I enjoy going to certain restaurants, but maybe there's a greater purpose than feeding my belly. I don't think it's coincidence that a server serves my table. But it's one domino at a time. Sometimes God says, hey, wide open door, go for it. Sometimes it's just, hey, how are you doing today? As simple as that. If you want God to do the super, you have to do the natural. There's a prayer. There's a prayer that the Jewish people, and it's, in fact, it's the most important prayer. You can find it in Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verse 9 through 4 through 9, sorry. And it's this. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. We could stop there and ask the question is how? How do you keep them in your heart? How do you put them into practice, those habits? The answer is habit stacking, which then goes on. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. God doesn't just give commands. He couples them with daily rituals. Getting up, lying down. If you're trying to cultivate a prayer habit, one of the best ways to do it is first thing in the morning or last thing at night. We even raise our kids sometimes like, hey, before you go to bed, let's say our night prayers. You didn't come up with that. As good as a parent that is, and what you have been, that was not your idea. God said it. Here's the good news. Some of you are already habit stacking. In other words, we have a habit, but we have to stack something with it. I've always struggled with devotions. Oh, pastor, how dare you? It was one of those things like, I would just get ready, and then once I was ready, I had my to-do list in my head. I have to go do this, I have to do this, I have to do this. And then if I got behind and running late, then I was just behind all day long. And by the end of the day, I realized I was not doing my devotions. I was not spending time with God to start the day. So I had to stack a habit. I literally put a chair next to my bed for years. And as soon as my alarm went off, I got up and sat in that chair and did my devotions. That was step one of getting ready for the day. I had to do that. I had to take something that was important to me, spending time with God, and I had to stack it and couple it with another thing that I have to do, and that's get ready every morning. Now, some people will say, I have to do my devotions with coffee because God's word is always good with caffeine. You're putting two things that you love together to make it a habit. So pick a habit, any habit. You've got to stack those really hard habits with rituals and routines that come naturally. Most of us are dehydrated most of the time, and it is detrimental effect on our physical and mental health. One way to counteract that is habit stacking. In other words, I have this cup, I fill it with water, and I'll drink it, and I won't use the restroom until it's empty. It works. You're like, what are we talking about? There's a quote, show me your habits, I'll show you your future. Show me your habits, I'll show you your future. Over time, you will become the sum total of your habits. But it started with one domino. Started with one ritual. Started with one habit. That may sound a little overwhelming, but let me ask a simple question. Pick a habit, any habit. Can you do it for a day? Don't try to change 17 things at the same time. In other words, don't look at the Leaning Tower of Pisa and say, I'm going to go up to it and push it over. It just starts with a small little domino. Bethel Church could reach the world, but it starts with one person. Starts with one person. I want to be a spiritual leader in my home, and I want my kids to serve the Lord, but it starts with me. Matthew 7, verse 2, the last part of verse 2, it says, with the measure you use, it will be measured unto you. Simply put, you'll get out of it what you put into it. And by it, I mean anything and everything from your health to your wealth to your marriage. If I don't think about my health, I'm not going to be healthy. If I don't think about my wealth, my finances, I'm going to spend like crazy and get myself in trouble. If I don't think about my marriage and work at my marriage, then our marriage is going to be in trouble. If I don't think about God and how God, what God's purpose is for my life, and I don't put him first, my relationship with the Lord is going to get in trouble. In other words, when I break bad habits and I clean the house and I get away and push things out of my life that God doesn't want in my life, but if I don't fill it with something good, with new habits and new formation, then it's just going to come in and it will probably get worse. Are you with me this morning? I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up. Let me go back. Almost anybody can accomplish almost anything if they work at it long enough, hard enough, and smart enough. It always starts with the first domino. You've got to fill out the application for the job. You've got to make the first appointment. You've got to check the box first. You've got to do the first workout. You've got to lose the first pound. Sometimes we have an idea of, man, I want to write a book. Did you know that if you write 2 pages every day for the next 100 days, you have your book? If you did push-ups or sit-ups of your age in the next 100 days, you might have a six-pack. But it starts with just simple things. If you start saving every day for the next 100 days, you may be that closer to being out of debt. You flick over the first domino, and I've I got some good news. It's called the math induction theory. It takes very little effort to push over a single domino. It's a step of faith. You got to take the first step. It's picking what is that one thing in your life that you're sitting here and you're probably even thinking about as I'm talking this morning and saying, I have this bad habit or I have this goal or this purpose, and it may be finances, it may be health, it may be in marriage, it may be education, it may be in ministry, it may be in your relationship with the Lord and saying, man, I have this goal, this purpose, this thing that God wants me to pursue. But you haven't taken that first step to win the day. And the hardest thing is to eat the frog. What's amazing about Sundays is that we start our Sundays and go, okay, we're in God's presence. And sometimes eating the frog is just getting here. It's Sundays. Sometimes Sundays, getting to church is some of the hardest things that we can do. In fact, sometimes it's all the distractions. It's the clothes I had picked out just wasn't working. I had a bad hair day. My kids are yelling at me. All these different things. Even in ministry, like the sound isn't working right. Things just aren't flowing right with the worship and practice, and it's just some struggles. And you know what? Sometimes we sit back and go, it's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good day. But sometimes it's just, okay, God, I made it. I made it. I'm here. Push over. Can I get down here? I'm going to get down here. Can I do that? Just kind of slowing down. God structured the church to just slow down. I don't know if it's going to stand on carpet. Oh. It's just to slow down. Don't worry, I don't have 11,000. But it's just, I should have planned this better. Oh! But you know what? Sometimes that happens, right? We just get in our own way. But it's just to slow down. Don't give up. Sometimes we gave up. You know, I'm going to stop with this right here. Sometimes we give up on our hopes and dreams too soon. Because somebody spoke something against us. Or because of life situations. Or because of a doctor's report. Sometimes we go, God, it's not worth it. But God says, don't give up. Oh, just one at a time. You know, maybe you're in your 10th marriage counseling, but maybe it'll be the 11th that brings the healing. Church, don't give up. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going through. We just celebrated our graduates. Imagine if they gave up. There are many that gave up through COVID. Schools shut down. They gave up. We got some time. We got some time for a response. And I'm going to challenge you. This might be your first domino of a new habit. And it's this, as they sing, there is no prayer that a pastor could pray over you that is going to change you. I pray. I fast. I intercede. Which does break open doors. It's the same as your prayers. There is no difference. In fact, the biggest difference is God wants to hear you praying for your needs, praying and interceding on your behalf. He wants to hear from you. I think sometimes we go through these challenges and these things, and God's saying, it's because I want to hear from you. It's not that he causes those challenges, but he says, hold on, I will show off, but I want to hear from you. I think those times when I was a teenager and I would sit in my windowsill that was pretty high up, and I would sit there and I would rock back and forth. I'm like, well, if there's an accident and I fall out of my window and I die, oh well, it was an accident. I think those times that I was sitting in that windowsill going, God, what is my purpose? Why have you even created me? And I'm sitting there, and I think God was just saying, you know what? It's so that I can have these conversations with you. Oh, I'm going to heal your mental health. I'm going to bring joy into your life. Oh, but when there's a breakthrough, oh, get ready, because there's going to be a breakthrough. Starts one domino. For some of you, it might be that first domino saying, God, you're not my God of my life. And I want to make you my savior. I'm drowning right now, and I need you to save me. If you will stand with me this morning. As the worship team starts to play this song and starts to lead us in this song, if you're here this morning, you say, you know what? I need to clean out things in my life. There are things that I need to change. There's this habit that I need a different formation of. And if that's you this morning, and I shared this on Wednesday night, this whole place has been set aside, this building, this facilities, this campus. This is an altar. But there is something about stepping forward, stepping in faith, and saying, I'm going to take that first step for something new in my life. And we do believe in altars. We do believe in praying for one another. We're a family. The hardest times in our life has been, when we've walked through, it's been a church family coming alongside and saying, you know what? We're with you. We're walking with you. We're standing with you. But it took one domino. Starts with one domino. So God, Lord, you see us, you know us, you know exactly what we're going through. Health, finances, a job, future, mental health, whatever it is. God, I just pray that you just build a faith, give us your strength, God, to place that first domino and watch the domino effect take place. Those towers, those walls in our life, takes one domino to tear it down. So God, I pray, Lord, if there's those that feel like in being obedience with you is to take that step forward, to come forward for prayer, to come forward, just lay things at the altar. God, as the worship team sings this song, God, give us your strength to be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen.